Hi, and thanks for listening to the Beauty Revealed podcast, produced by C-Squared Artistry, a brand for women multiplying character and confidence in their lives to reveal their true beauty.
All right, you guys, I'm so excited because today we are going deep with Ms. Cecilia Simon, and it's an honor to have her on the podcast. I've known her now, gosh, I guess, Cecilia, what is, it's been like 2 years now since you guys went to Phoenix? So we've known each other for 2 years now. We attend the same church, and, you know, she's just been a woman that I have admired and that I've been able to watch and get to know as well. And with everything that she's doing in her personal life, but also within the platforms of ministry, and also just as she continues to grow in her faith and her education as it pertains to the Lord, has just been something that I think is phenomenal. And I want to be able to share with all of you ladies today. And so today I have her on, so I'm going to let her go ahead and introduce herself and tell you guys a little bit about who she is and what she does, and we'll jump right into the interview. Cecilia, welcome.
Hi, thanks, Candace. Hi, everyone. My name is Cecilia Simon, and Candace is correct. We moved to Arizona 2 years ago by way of my husband's profession. He's a collegiate football coach, and Arizona State hired him 2 years ago, and so we are heading into our third season of college football, Power Five football, at Arizona State University, and so we moved here and didn't honestly even go to another church. We started going to Valley Gate, and we loved it, and we joined. My husband knew Pastor Daryl, who's Valley Gate, a senior pastor through the Redskins organization when he played in the NFL. Pastor Daryl was his chaplain. So we hear a lot of times the world is small, and it really is when we think about it, because God will bring things full circle to remind us that he is always taking care of us. He's leading and guiding our footsteps. So with that being said, I'm a coach's wife, and I take that very honorably, I'll say, not necessarily seriously, but honorably. I honor my husband. I submit to him, and I submit to his career, his profession, and his goals. I also lead an organization called Caterpillars Transformed, transforming lives into the beauty of creation. By way of biblical literacy, illumination, application, and transformation. And so I do that with young girls and young women ages 14 to 22, preferably, but I don't limit myself to speaking and teaching God's word. So I am a faith-based speaker. I'm also an author of one book, and I have two in the works. So that, and I'm also a mom. I have two sons. John is 12 and James is 11. So I have the privilege of parenting two sons with my husband, John. I think that's it, Candace.
Yes, that is all of the basic details. What she's not telling you is that she's also a very beautiful woman, very put together. I have to say, you always come correct.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. That's sweet.
Okay. So in terms of what you do and the message that you have shared over the course of the past several years, you know, a lot of times you share really candidly about transformation, your personal growth and what you've been through in life. Can you share a little bit more about that experience, kind of a general overview of your life transformation?
Yes. After 14, I ended up losing my virginity to a guy who at the end of the day just cared nothing about me. And so with that, my life just started to go into a whirlwind of just promiscuous activity. And I really honestly have no excuse for it. I can't say I didn't have a father at home, or I can't say that, you know, I had a broken home, or my parents weren't together. They were together. My dad was there. He did work offshore, and he worked out of town a lot. But, you know, I make no excuses for my choices. And so I lost my virginity at 14, and then by my freshman year of college, at 18, I became a statistic of date rape. And so what that means is that I went out on a date with a guy I knew. I knew him before I went to school, before I left and went to college. And he took advantage of me. And so I carried that weight for about 10 years into my marriage, even being a mom. But my husband knew about it because he was one of the people, really the only person I told about the situation, because we all went to school together, and I wanted him to know, if this guy comes up to you and says he had sex with me, he did not. He took advantage of me. And so I needed my husband to know that, but I also wanted my boyfriend or fiance at the time to know that, to know what he was getting into. I have some mess. I have some baggage. You proposed to me, but this is what it is. And if you want to continue into this relationship and ultimately into a marriage, then this is what, you know, I will be carrying into it. And we've got to figure out what to do about it. And so I was sitting in my master's level class after graduation, undergrad graduation, after getting married. I'm sitting in a master's level classroom. A classroom that I wasn't actually supposed to be in, and a class that I wasn't supposed to take, because the class that I signed up for didn't have enough attendees, so they had to close the class and put me in a class. And this particular class I didn't choose, but I know God was ordering my steps, because I ended up watching a video about date rape that exposed my situation and caused me to put a name on what happened to me my freshman year of school. And like I said, this was 10 years later. So it wasn't until I came to grips with what had happened to me face to face, mirror to mirror, this is what it is, and I put a name on it, then I had to decide what was I going to do with that new information. And that was when the transformation process began for me. I believe transformation starts with repentance. It starts with us recognizing and understanding what reality looks like, what our truth is. And it wasn't until I embraced my truth and I embraced the reality of that situation, it wasn't until then I looked at God and I said, God, okay, if this is what it is, then you're going to have to help me deal with this, help me heal, show me who I need to talk to, where do I need to go get counseling to fix this so that I can move forward, so that I don't fall into these patterns of relationships again, so that I can trust again, so that I can love again, so that I can be relational again. And so transformation for me began when I came face to face with the truth of what was looking back at me. And I believe when I talk about transformation and the beauty of creation, for me it just means that we were all created on purpose and for a purpose. There's something that God has called us to do, but a lot of times we're clouded, we're distracted, we can't see what those things are because we have so much other stuff we need to face. We need to repent about, and we need to say, God, if you don't help me with this, then I can't move forward.
Wow. Okay. So that was a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like there are so many things that even that I can relate to from what you shared. And we haven't even talked about this in detail in the past, just so, you know, mm-hmm. you guys know. We're just kind of flowing at this point, but, you know, I gave myself to another young man when I was 15, and mm-hmm. it definitely spiraled into, just like you were talking about, you know, promiscuous relationships. I was almost like a serial monogamist, if you will.
Yeah, but, right.
But continually giving myself.
Right.
And so I kind of want you to share a little bit about how, well, I can say for myself, I also, well, I grew up in a two-parent family that were very loving, supportive, that, you know, we attended church. I had what I believed to be a relationship with God. I knew about Christ, etc. But I struggled deeply with insecurity. And perhaps even for those who are listening who know me personally may not have even realized that, because I am very outgoing and social and talkative, but I struggled with insecurity because I was looking for that from boys. You know, and I know our listeners will range in terms of age group, but I'm sure many of you adult women listening can totally relate to that on some level. And those things, if they're not dealt with at the point of, you know, when you become aware of what you're really happening, what's the root of your insecurity? Why do you keep dating people? It's like I always had to have a boyfriend. Like I always had, I can't remember a time when there wasn't a boy that I liked or was interested in, or there wasn't a time where I was dating somebody or kind of talking to somebody or sleeping with somebody. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, it was kind of like I went through that process, and it wasn't until about my junior year, my sophomore, junior year of college, that I began to come to the realization that this sort of pattern for myself was no longer healthy. And there were so many other aspects of sexual, what I would identify according to the Bible as sexual immorality. And I know that's something that everyone who's listening may not agree with, but as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, you know, I use the Bible as my guide, as a moral compass for myself. So some listening may say, okay, well, what's the issue with quote unquote losing your virginity at 14 or 15? You know, what are the issues? So I want to kind of pause there because I realize that everyone may not have the same moral standard or belief that you and I possess that would even make us, you know, come to a place, bring us to a place of awareness or repentance to say something was wrong, you know, and I'm using air quotes, but wrong with that. Can you kind of unpack that for us before we can even move forward? Because I know that for some listening, they're probably like, well, I don't see what the issue is to begin with.
So the issue for me was when it happened prior to my husband and I going through marriage counseling, but I remember sitting in marriage counseling saying to the pastor, I feel like a prostitute. And he kind of looked at me, and I knew my feelings were real, but I didn't understand why I felt like that with the fiance about to get married in like 3 months. And he looked at me and he said, because you are. And I was a bit taken back, but I was waiting to hear what he was going to say, because he was going to help me understand my feelings. He said, because God has bought you with a price, and this man that you're having sex with is not your savior. He's not your husband. And therefore, that is why you feel like you're prostituting your body, because your body is not his body yet. And so even when I would sleep with other guys in high school, something about it just wouldn't feel right. And in Genesis, the Bible says that we are created in God's image and his likeness. And that means that everything about him we are supposed to be, or at least strive to be. So that means keeping our body for marriage, for our husband, is holy. It is something that we are supposed to strive to do. And when a man takes our body without paying the price or marrying us covenantly, then he is not using our body for what it was designed to be used for, and that is as a husband and a wife. And that is why, I don't know, we feel we Christians feel a different about that, but others may not, because they haven't come into a relationship with Christ where there is a conviction. Now, the truth is there may not be a conviction, but there is a reason why you keep running to man after man after man, and that is because you're looking for someone to fill a void that only God can fill. So there's still a question you have to ask yourself, even if you're not a Christian: why do I keep giving my body, my treasure, the thing that I should prize the most, to men who don't value what it is that is on the inside? What I value my body. Why don't they value my body? Or why am I giving it to so many people? Perhaps I don't value it the way I should. But I think we have to come to a place where we have to ask those hard questions in the midst of marriage counseling. And my husband and I, crazy as it may seem and sound, we decided the 2 weeks we had left before we were going to get married that we weren't going to have sex. And we didn't. I needed that space. I needed that opportunity and that time to honor God and say, I hadn't done it all my life, but at least for these last 2 weeks, I'm going to do it so that you'll know that I mean business about who you've called me to be and who you created me to be.
I am over here cracking up because that 2 weeks, I know after that 2 weeks, when the wedding night came, you were like, okay, it's on and popping now.
Right.
But I can totally relate, because it wasn't until I got involved with a sexual purity organization called Worth the Wait Revolution that is led by Dr. Lindsay Marsh Warren now, who was then a virgin all her life, got married to G, her husband Garrett, when she was in her late 30s, and the organization that she founded was just it was an important place for me in my life, and even for Tommy, you know, who accepted me and all of my baggage, as you're talking about. But I think there's something really important about community, and even if you don't, you know, if you're not necessarily surrounded with a community of other people who are also trying to live in a way of sexual purity, it goes deeper. It goes beyond that. It goes to your identity. And, you know, mm-hmm. with this particular brand, C-Squared Artistry, and this podcast, Beauty Revealed, the rooting concept is Christ. It's identity in Christ. Right. And a lot of times we are looking for our identity in other places and with other people. As I mentioned, mm-hmm. in my first experience, the person that I was dating in a relationship with, it was like, there was so many things about my private life that I had never shared with anyone that I opened up and shared with him. And mm-hmm. it seemed like he really got me. It was like he was the same person. And I almost saw myself in him, like, oh my God, I totally understand, you know, how I feel. And it was like my identity, I mm-hmm. perceived my identity to have been recognized. Like, he saw me. He knew me.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that even in the Bible, the word to know, or the phrase to know, is what's used to describe a sexual experience and interaction. And so many times we desire, I personally, part of one of my personal mantras is that I believe that everyone desires to know God, even if you don't know that that's who you're looking for, but to know God and to be known by him. And
right.
so many times we're searching for someone to just know us, that identity. And when we truly come to a place of conviction, and conviction means that there is something in you that recognizes that there is a way about your life, your choices, your habits, thought patterns that don't line up with the holiness of God. I said mm-hmm. this on another podcast, that it is at the point of your, and Alistair Begg, another preacher, he said it this way. It is at the point of your, when you recognize your sin, that you you recognize your need for a savior. You know, it's, you have to see yourself. You have to really see yourself.
Right. You know, if we don't do it right the first time, it'll come around to where we have to do it right eventually. And so for me, I have had to learn celibacy within my marriage. So the things that I desired before I got married, I got married, and then God said, okay, now I'm going to teach you. And so my husband and I really had to start all the way over with learning one another, because sex had clouded so much of who we were or who we thought we were, to the point where when he would get hired for jobs in different states, I wouldn't be with him. And it would take me weeks, sometimes 3 months, until myself and our two sons moved. So for 3 months, what was I doing? I was praying, Lord, keep me, because I just want to have sex. And my husband is in another state. So God showed me in those moments, like, okay, you didn't do it before you got married, but now I'm going to show you that this, I meant what I meant. And so I would have to hold myself or keep myself from temptation while being married. I remember, and this is kind of TMI, too much information, but I remember, you know, my husband and I being intimate, and I was telling him one night, just, can you redo my whole first experience for me? You know, when I was with the guy and I lost my virginity, like, that wasn't your fault, and I know you weren't there, but if I had a second chance to do this all over again, what would this look like? And we literally role played like this whole thing, and he was so sweet, and he embraced me, and it was so different. But sometimes we have to start over to realize, oh, this is what God meant by this. And although we won't know fully, because he's God, you know, we know consciously, like, that wasn't right. Maybe this isn't fully correct, but I know that first time was all the way wrong. I know my decisions, my choices, what I did was all the way wrong. And so for me, God didn't allow those experiences for me to just pass. I had to implement them and redo them to know how they are supposed to be done correctly, but they had to be done within my marriage.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Thank you so much for just sharing that moment with us, because it definitely makes a difference. And you're right, celibacy and marriage, and that can be a whole nother podcast, because people don't, you know, that's something that you don't really consider. But I know my military girlfriends, they know, right. You know, all of our girlfriends who are, who are coaches' wives, who are players' wives. There's so many, and even if your husband doesn't travel for work or whatever, and that goes into a whole nother conversation about purity, you know, at home, whether it's masturbation, pornography, there's so many other layers to it. And it just, you know, this is kind of where this conversation has led. And I believe by faith that whoever is listening, like, this was meant to be the conversation, because this wasn't a high topic, but obviously this is what God, this is what God has for you today. So I pray that it really touches something. And like Cecilia said, there's always an opportunity for repentance to come back before God and to say, how have you designed me? What have you created my body for? My thoughts, you know, where are my thoughts, and how am I viewing myself and my purpose, and how can I be sure to really utilize my time? You know, I believe that we're called to live in light of eternity, and knowing that your time here in the earth is limited, let me truly be used for you, God, the way that you created me to be used and for your purpose. And so, with all of that said, what would you say, Cecilia, kind of wrapping up this portion of the conversation, what would you say, I guess, is just maybe one step that a person who's listening could move forward with from this point. If they, you know, identify themselves as like, yeah, I can totally relate to that narrative of growing up and maybe having that unfortunate date rape or living promiscuous, you know, a promiscuous life, what's kind of the next step for them?
Yeah. Well, I think you have to come face to face with your truth. You can't keep denying it. It is what it is. It happened. The hard thing for me was tagging the name, the statistic, calling it date rape. And that's what I had to call it because that's what it was. I had to stop blaming myself because I went to his room. I had to stop feeling guilty, saying that it was my fault. It was not my fault. I said no. He still did what he did. And so I had to come face to face with what that night looked like, what it really was, and what it really was called. And when I came to grips with what the name was and what he was, I began to understand what really happened. And then, Candace, I had to forgive him. I had to say, you know, it happened. I'm sorry for me, but I'm also sorry for him. And the Bible says in James that we should pray ye one for another that we may be healed, that ye may be healed, that I may be healed. And so for me to receive healing, I had to begin to pray for him, the person who did that to me. And so I prayed for him. I prayed that he wouldn't do it to another girl. I prayed that if he had done it to another girl, you know, that he would begin to find help and he would find healing and that she would find healing. I mean, my prayers went into a whole nother realm for him because I understood that me praying for him was really for me. I couldn't be bitter or harbor any anger because that wasn't going to heal me. And so once I came to grips with what happened to me and put a name and a face on it, then I was able to see clearly now what is next and what am I supposed to do. And that next step was to begin to pray for him so that I could be made whole and that I could be healed. And then after that was me going into counseling and speaking to a therapist about the things that happened to me. But as long as you keep that secret a secret, you're not going to be able to help yourself and you won't be able to help anybody else. I think for me, telling my husband helped a lot because he understood what was going on.
Well, thank you so much, Cecilia. I appreciate that. And I just want to, you know, acknowledge everything that you said and acknowledge your transparency and just, you know, your faithfulness to sharing your story and to hopefully it impacting and helping somebody else who may be in the midst of, you know, a similar situation or, you know, even those of you women who could say like, you know, that's not my story, but it's still important for you to be aware of your worth and aware of your identity, who you are, you know, remember who you are and let that be something that really guides your life. So that if folks do want to keep in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you going forward?
Okay. So all of my handles on social media are Cecilia Simon, at Cecilia Simon. Facebook is Cecilia Simon, CECELIASIMON. So if you're looking for a Cecilia, mine is spelled with two E's, not just one.
But thank you for sharing just your life with us. And I really appreciate you being on the podcast today. You guys, be sure to check out Cecilia on all of her social media handles because I do believe that she's going to be continuing to do some amazing things in this lifetime. So check her out. And thank you so much for listening to the Beauty Reveal podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on Instagram at C Squared Art. And I will talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.